This weekend, as we said, we have 13 young men and women here preparing to receive their first communion. It's also Pentecost Sunday. So I was thinking about these two realities. What am I going to preach on today? What should I preach on today? Then it came to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why not preach on a little sacramental theology to see how these two realities come together? So that's what we're going to do today. So the first thing we got to do is define our terms. A sacrament is a visible sign instituted by Jesus Christ to give us grace. If you remember that, you know your Baltimore Catechism, and you know you're really old. Haha. The new catechism is much later. So, now, my little ones, you're receiving one sacrament today. How many sacraments are there altogether? 10? 10 is the commandments. You're getting close, though. Yeah? 7. I'll give you what you'll never forget. Think of the 7 dwarfs. 7 dwarfs, 7 sacraments. You'll never forget it. All right, good. Now, each of those sacraments have what we call a form and matter. You have to have form and matter to have a valid sacrament. The form is the words. You think about if you go to the doctor or to DMV and they give you a piece of paper. It's a form. And they say, fill it out. Well, you write words on the form. Form, words, okay? Matter sounds like material stuff. So every sacrament, we have to have words and we have to have stuff. So earlier we talked about baptism. At the end of the gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, go out to all the nations, baptizing them. Good for you. Good for you. I know a lot of you were babies when the baptism happened. You don't remember, but that's okay. Those are the words. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the form, the words. The matter, holy water, right? So words plus water, valid sacrament. God is good. So how do we understand this? How did this come about? Let's go back to the Old Testament to see how God was preparing us, right? Because Jesus, the sacrament instituted by Christ. So how was God preparing us from the beginning? Rather, we should say, how was he preparing us in the beginning? Because when we go to the beginning, Genesis 1, here's what we hear. We hear, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form or shape, with darkness over the abyss, a mighty wind swept over the waters. Now, the translation is, because the word ruah means spirit or breath of God. We see this more clearly in the next chapter, Genesis 2:7. In 2:7, we're told that God takes the clay of the earth, kind of molds it together. You guys like playing with Play-Doh? Yeah? No? You'd rather read Plato, I understand. But with this age, you know, put it all together. Good Dominicans there. Great. So what we see is he takes the clay, and then we're told he breathes into Adam's nostrils. Ruah, that breath of God comes into the clay, and all of a sudden, Adam is alive. So we can see from the very beginning, we see that God is using words, combining it with stuff, matter, to show us his power, to show us his presence among us. So let's now transition to the Eucharist, right? Because you're here to receive what? Why are you guys here today? You want to get married? I can marry you. You want to get married? No? You better answer the question then. What are you guys here for today? First Communion. Woo-hoo-hoo. All right. Great. So let's see where First Communion is prefigured in the Old Testament. We go back to the Old Testament. Again, Genesis. Genesis 14. We're told Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Sound familiar? This means yes. Your head should be going like this. You awake? All right. Parents, poke them. Come on, let's go. Then we're told he says words. He says words over. He said, blessed be Abram, the God of the Most High. Blessed be Abram by God the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. So we have words of blessing. We have matter. We have this prefiguration of the Eucharist there in front of us. Let's go a little bit later. Leviticus 24. God's chosen people they've left Egypt. They're no longer slaves in Egypt. But they're not quite in the promised land just yet. They haven't made it to Benicia just yet. They're still on their way, okay? So as they're going through the desert, they have this tent, right? And in this tent was the Ark of the Covenant. And right outside where the ark was, there were two little altars, smaller than that, but two little altars. One was the altar of incense. One was the altar of showbread. Forget about the incense for now. When you become hippies, we'll talk about that later. But for today, we're going to talk about showbread, right? This showbread was a special bread. The priest would say blessings over it. And that bread was the very presence of God. And seeing that bread, there was a connection there. God is dwelling among us. Sound familiar with our tabernacle over here? Yes, it does. So we can see this beautiful relationship that God is giving us through this wonderful prefiguration of a sacrament, a visible sign, right, to give us grace. So now let's go to the New Testament and see where the sacrament comes to its fullness. In the New Testament, we go to Holy Thursday. We're in the upper room, and Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples. In Matthew 26, we're told, when they were eating, Jesus took bread and wine, right? Stuff, matter. And we're told that he speaks words. He says, take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. The blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for you on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. So we have a visible sign, bread and wine, instituted by Christ in the upper room for the forgiveness of sins. That's why we're here today. We're here to enter into this reality with Jesus Christ. So today, Benicia becomes the upper room, right? We are there. We are there in the upper room to have that beautiful experience with Christ so our sins can be forgiven, so he can come into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, so we can be more like Christ. Now that we've done the first communion part, let's talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, because it is his birthday today, right? Pentecost, so we can't leave him hanging out there. We're told in today's gospel, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. So when we come to the consecration, right, we're going to have the bread and the wine on the altars, and I'm the priest, so I'm going to say prayers over it, and I'm going to say what's called the epiclesis, the calling down of the Holy Spirit. And here's the words you're going to hear me say. I'm going to say, therefore, Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts, bread and wine, that we've brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. So the same way the Holy Spirit went across at the beginning of creation, the same way the Holy Spirit enlivened Adam and gave him life, the Holy Spirit is going to come down upon the bread and wine and change them miraculously into the body, blood, and soul divinity of Jesus Christ. Is that cool? Yeah? Can you wait to receive communion? You can wait? Can't wait. All right, I tricked you on that one. I'm sorry. I got you on that one. So in a few moments, guys, we're going to receive that first communion. Many of us here maybe received 100th time, 1,000th time. I did a little math. I'm up to about 7,000. So I'm getting there, right? That's good. That's good. But every time we see that Pentecost happening in the first reading, in Pentecost, we're told people from many nations and many tongues all got together. But when the disciples talked, they heard them in their own language. That's one of the beautiful things about our faith. No matter where we go around the world, if we go to Mass, we know exactly what's going on. I was in Peru, and yo hablo un poquito español, pero es muy mal. So I don't really know what's going on in Spanish, right? But I knew where we were in the Mass. And when the priest extended his hands and said the epiclesis in Spanish, who knew what he was saying, I knew what was going on. The Holy Spirit was coming down. You look around our church on the way out, you're going to see people from every race, every color, all here in Benicia. It's wonderful. When we come together, we speak that beautiful language, the language of our faith. It's the Eucharist that ties all of us together. It's the Eucharist that is that Pentecostal moment when the Holy Spirit comes upon all of us and doesn't only transform the bread and wine, but transforms those of us who receive it. And that's what's really cool, right? So let's ask God that every time we come to receive communion, whether it's the first, the 1,000th, the 7,000th, anybody here around 15,000 back there? I see some gray hair. I got some 15,000ers back there. Every time we receive the Eucharist, we realize the Holy Spirit is enlightening us and drawing us closer and closer and closer to be more perfect like our Lord Jesus Christ.